Anybody have a favorite Christmas movie? Anybody got one? I've got some. How about this one? Let's play a little game. Name that Christmas movie, all right? Home Alone. That, good job. I should give you guys like snowballs. What's it? Elf, all right. Next. Christmas Story. This used to be my favorite. Okay. Christmas Vacation. All right, got that one. All right. How about this one? There you go. This one? All right. Pretty common, right? Probably one of those may be your favorite Christmas movie, right? You know, or maybe it's one of the Hallmark movies, but hopefully not. Hopefully it's one of those. Or maybe. And it really is a pretty good list. And even though I always say that my favorite Christmas movie is Die Hard, because it almost is, in all reality it's number two. I think number one is so far and away ahead of all of these, it's not even funny. Hey, Remy, would you play that clip for me?
You've been dumb before, Charlie Brown, but this time you really did it.
What a treat! I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Linus with the mic drop there, right? This movie has been, it was first shown on TV in 1965. And every year since, it's been played on TV, right? I mean, this is a classic. And Linus has been preaching a sermon on national TV since 1965. You can't beat that. You can't. And it's so true, isn't it? That is what Christmas is all about. Luke 2:6-7, while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Do you see the order here? Do you see Luke working, what he's saying, what the author is saying in his gospel? He goes from saying that Mary gave birth to Jesus to then showing his readers why that was such a big deal. I mean, there were baby Jewish boys born left and right at that day. It didn't really matter. It really wasn't that remarkable. It's not that remarkable, Luke. That's not that big of a deal. Who cares? There's a baby. He was born. We get it. It happens all the time. And although he does point out that Mary was a virgin, which is a fulfillment of prophecy from Isaiah, and that he was born in Bethlehem, which is also a fulfillment of prophecy, and that he was the descendant of David, that was also a fulfillment of prophecy. All of that he points out, but look at Luke 2:8 through 11. Or 2:10 through 11. It says, "But the angel assured him, 'Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David.'" If you understand what is going on here, is this. The angel here that's talking, he's given Jesus a walk-up song. You know, baseball players, they get to choose a song when they come up to the plate. One player chose Baby Shark this year, you know. He just had a kid. Anyway. But it was a walk-up song. It was a formal introduction, if you will. Here's who this boy is. Here's why he's remarkable. He is the chosen one, the promised one. So moving really quickly because Tim stole all my time. I want us to see that the angel's courageous announcement had three things going for it. The first one is they introduced Jesus as God. I know that's duh, right? We get that. We all know that, Sobek. Except not really. You and I, we accept that as fact. We accept that as truth. We have been convinced because we've heard it our whole life. Whatever, you know, we get this. Yeah, baby, God, right. It's easy for us. However, there is a whole world out there that gets tripped up on that very point right away. Come on. Really? A baby? Born to a virgin? Seriously? That's what we're saying here? And we get it, and we like, yeah, of course. But hey, if you step back and go, you know, that sounds kind of ridiculous. And lots of people will say to you and say to me that Jesus was a good teacher. He was a good man. He was a great rabbi. However, God? What? Come on. He was a good guy. He was a good teacher. But he wasn't God. Luke makes sure to point out that the shepherds heard it, that they knew it, that they knew that this man, this baby was born, was God. Luke wanted that to be right up front. And Luke makes sure to point out that they get it, and that they knew that the angels, the messengers of God, the servants of the Most High, were declaring that Jesus was God. I was going to ruin your perception about angels this morning, but I'm not going to do that this morning because I'm pressed for time, but maybe next year I'll tell you about the angels. But anyway, no, angels were amazing. They were magnificent. They were God's messengers. They did exactly what God told them to do. And they showed us what it was to worship. And they announced this baby, this little itty baby was born. He was God. And he was going to save the world. The one you've been waiting for this whole time, he's here. But does the Bible really say that Jesus was God? Really? Is that what we're claiming here? Maybe the angels were just saying that Jesus was a good guy. And I will tell you, if you read your Bible for about 5 minutes, you have to either say this is not true or is true. But you cannot deny the fact the Bible says Jesus was God. Ephesians 2:12, "In those days, you were living apart from Christ, you were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without hope and without God." Jesus was God's Son. His one and only Son, His beloved Son. So not only was God now living among us, but God had sent His pride and joy to be Emmanuel, which means God with us. He was to be God with skin on. And like the C.S. Lewis quote from last week, the Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. That's what He did. That's what God did. God was trying to adopt us into His family. He was trying to allow us to become His children and have access to Him through His Son, His one and only Son, Jesus. And now as sons of God, as children adopted into the family, we are to do what we saw Jesus doing, which was loving and healing and teaching and, yes, extending peace. Hebrews 12:14 says, "Work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord." Don't you think that is what our world needs right now? Peace? To be totally different? To advocate, to love peace? Look at our leaders, people. Look at them. Our commander-in-chief is making jokes about people's spouses being in hell. The other side of the aisle is trying to impeach him because they hate him. And that's what just this week. We don't have a peaceful world. We don't. We don't have a peaceful society. And I think the world is crying out for us to show some peace. I really do. It's up to us. Make peace on earth. Spread goodwill to all men. Jesus was God. Number two, the angel introduced Jesus as the Messiah. Messiah is the Hebrew word, Mashiach, which means anointed one or chosen one. It's the Greek equivalent to Christos. Isaiah 42:1 says, "Look at my servant whom I strengthen. He is my chosen one who pleases me. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring justice to the nations." That was, again, about Jesus. John 20:31, "But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him you will have life by the power of his name." Jesus was the Messiah, the one that had been talked about for years and years and years and years, the one that the Jews had been waiting for, the one that they had been talking about and hoping and praying for, and they missed it. And yet we miss it too. Don't miss the Messiah. Don't miss him. He's come to save us. He's come. And he's gone. But he's coming back. And he's going to take us with him. Don't miss him. Don't miss your chance. Number three, trying to be quick. The angel introduced Jesus as Lord. The book of Acts, Peter's first recorded sermon said this. It says, Acts 2:36, "So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah." And somehow over the years, we have really done a disservice to people by trying to soften the message up, to make it easier, trying not to talk about hell or punishment or any bad things. We just want to be love, and love, and love is good. But there is another side to the coin, right? If you do not accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there is another side, right? And it's not fun. It is not rosy, and it's not roses. There is punishment. And I don't like it. But we cannot preach a gospel that is just partially true. We have to preach the whole thing, and it's this. There is a place that people go if they do not accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. He is Lord, which means this. He's not just your friend. He is not just your Savior, but He's also supposed to be in charge. Luke 6:46, So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? Here's the deal. The baby, man, I'm so glad he came. He literally has taken my life and given me a purpose. He has given my life meaning. He has helped me to see that I'm pretty small in the grand scheme of things. And yet, he loves me. He sent Jesus for me. Just me. If nobody on earth had sinned but me, God would have sent Jesus. He has rescued me. However, he has to be my Lord. I have to obey what he has asked. The 8-pound, 6-ounce golden baby Jesus is an amazing thing. But he grew up. He became the object of our worship. He pointed us the way to God. He showed us a different way, a better way, a more fulfilling way to spend the 70 or 80 years that we have on this planet. He came as God. He came as our Messiah. And he came as our Lord. And all three of those things make up the whole picture. Just like all 66 books make up the whole Bible. To be complete, you have to have it all. Luke 2:11, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Do you know him? Do you know that Savior? Do you know that Messiah? Do you know that King that was a baby, but he grew up and he changed everything? He changed the whole way we thought. He changed the whole way that we were to view power and love and grace and mercy. He changed all of it. Do you know him? If you don't know him this Christmas, please get to know him. Christmas was for you and me. It was an introduction. To God in the most unexpected, unbelievable, amazing way possible on Christmas.